Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to resume our studies of the seven I Ams of Revelation. Seven times in the book of Revelation, our Lord Jesus Christ uses his divine title as the great I Am in addressing the churches and addressing others in the book of Revelation. Seven is the perfect number. It is God's number. And we have a perfect revelation of Christ in the book of Revelation. The I Am which we consider today, we are going to call the I Am of Government. He is the I Am of Government. And this is found in the second chapter of the book of Revelation in the letter to the church at Thyatira. We read in verse 23, "And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." Now this is severe language, and it's symbolic language. The Lord is not in the business of killing children. It's a symbolic reference, and we will explain it. And I think, however, that the severity of the language demands that we relate this to the text. Now, in the first of the churches, the church at Ephesus, that occupies the first century of church history. Now, the church at Smyrna occupies the second and third centuries. Smyrna was the time of severe persecutions that were directed against the church by the Roman Empire. There were 10 of those terrible persecutions, the last one under Diocletian, which was the worst of all. But at the beginning of the fourth century, Constantine and Maxentius were contending for the throne. Constantine was supposed to have seen a vision of the cross, a vision of fire, and heard, "In this sign, conquer." Constantine went to the bishops at Rome, and he inquired about the Christian religion. And he professedly embraced the Christian religion, and he did become the emperor of Rome. And he attributed it to the fact that he embraced the Christian religion. So he elevated the church from her state of martyrdom to the state of glory. It was the worst thing that could have happened to the church. Now the world became a little churchy, but the church became very worldly, elevated to this place of grandeur and glory. Now, some centuries down the line, we have a state of the Christendom, that is best described under the letter to Thyatira. And I think we'll just read the whole complete letter. Beginning at verse 18 of chapter 2 of Revelation, "And unto the angel of the church at Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass." Eyes like the flame of fire, this is judicial language. Feet that are like fine brass. He says, "I know thy works, love and service and faith, and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." Now Jezebel is seen, borrowed from the Old Testament, if you please. And this woman, Jezebel, this symbolic woman, introduces idolatry into the church. And Jezebel did that exactly in Israel. She, the wife of Ahab, introduced into the northern 10 tribes Baal worship. And at one time she had 450 prophets of Baal eating at her table. Now, Jezebel, in the book of Thyatira, We borrow the thought from the Old Testament. She introduced an idolatry. Now, what kind of idolatry was this? I think the idolatry would have to be classed in this autocratic state of the church. Remember now, the church has been glorified. And in that glory, she builds great cathedrals. She introduces ornate ritual to hold the awe and the worship and the faithfulness of the people of that day and age. All right. Now, that was idolatry. Anything that takes the place of God is an idol. Now, they were holding the imagination and the hearts of their people through grandeur rather than through their message of God and His grandeur. Now, don't mistake me. I believe that Christian people should meet in a commendable place of worship. But I don't believe the spire has to be 500 feet tall. And certainly those ornate cathedrals and the ornate ritual held the people spellbound, awestruck in many cases. With what? With idols, something that takes the place of God. We should be awestruck with God and His majesty, and I think probably if we will consider the I Ams of Revelation, we will introduce into our own thinking a bit of awe of who this one is that is the judge of the universe, the government, the head of all government. And so our Lord has to say, I will kill their children, the product between Jezebel and the kings of the earth would be classed as children. And God says, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to end it. Now, He says, I am He which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give to every one of you according to your works. Now, I think that this is very important when we consider the I Am of government. God judges people according to their works. Now, I don't mean by this that our works get us to heaven. Nothing but nothing will take us to heaven except the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary, your sins and my sins were placed upon Him, and He died for our sins, removing that barrier of sin that would keep us out of heaven. And we go to heaven because we place our personal trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we place our trust in Him, the Spirit of God brings the life of Christ within us, and we are indeed born again. But we are, as Christians even, judged according to our works. I'm going to read about it in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we will treat it in a more complete way later in this series of studies on the seven I Ams of Revelation. But I want to refer to it today. In the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse 12, we read, Now if any man build upon this foundation, and Paul has just said, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We'll go on. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now here they're being judged according to their works at the Bema, at the judgment seat of Christ. That's the Lord that's sitting on that judge. He is the judge at the Bema. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, that is on Christ, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, the margin has it, so as by through fire. So now, this is the judgment of Christian people. Now, we do not go to the judgment seat of Christ, to the Bema, to find out whether or not we're saved. We're there because we are saved. But that which we did for the Lord is going to be judged in this world. Did we serve the Lord out of love to Him because He first loved us and died for us on the cross? Or did we serve the Lord out of our own selfish ambitions to be seen and heard for our own aggrandizement? God is going to judge the hearts. He tells that to the church at Thyatira. He says, I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And God, the Lord Jesus, is going to search the hearts of his people and judge them according to their works. Now the gold and the silver and the precious stones, I believe, are those works that are done out of love to our Lord Jesus Christ. The wood, hay, and the stubble represents that which was done for our own aggrandizement. Oh, it looked so big. We were such marvelous Christian people and did so many great things for the Lord. Now the fire tries them, the holiness of God tries them, and we read there that we, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. It's the person, it's the works that are being judged, not the person. Yet so as by fire, so as through fire. He does not leave, he does not lose his Christianity, his eternal life, if his works have not been good, but he does suffer loss. Now, this same one who is the I Am of government judges the unredeemed in the book of Revelation at another throne, which is called the Great White Throne. Verse 11 of the 20th chapter of Revelation. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead spiritually, incidentally, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Now, in all three cases where our Lord Jesus is the I Am of government, he judges according to their works. Let's go on. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now here we have the judgment of the unredeemed, and it is by it according to their works. They don't appear here to have their good works and their bad works weighed. They're here simply to receive the judgment of their evil works. They had a chance to receive the Lord Jesus, and as these people look to the judge on the great white throne, they see in his hands the print of the spikes. They see in his feet the marks of the spikes. They see a gaping wound in his side. The very one that judges them and sends them to the lake of fire was the one who died for them on the cross of Calvary, but they wouldn't have him. And if you won't have Christ, there is no other alternative. Our Father, today we pray that in these solemn studies we will be awestruck, not with cathedrals, but with the majesty of God and his redeeming love. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.